This morning we're going to go into a different sort of theme. We're going to talk about the work of elders in the church. We've been talking about the family, and now we're going to go in to talk about certain duties that's within the church. And one of the interesting things about this lesson is that there's several different ways to approach it, but I thought that what I would do is first start out to kind of give us a better understanding of the work of an elder and describing exactly what an elder is and where it's found in Scripture. I pretty much wrote most of my thoughts up on the board to try to, you know, help everyone follow along, and so and put most of the points there so that everyone could see it, and also the Scripture. It's interesting that in 1 Timothy, the third chapter in verse 2, that there is a word used. It's the word bishop. And we all know that, you know, I remember one time I was working over at Chris's garage. It's not a garage. It's actually a huge pole barn. And he was on the phone talking to, I think it was his wife, and he said that he was here with Bishop Randy. And I, you know, that's not a misuse of that term, but it's probably not, you know, a good title to use associated with someone's name, because it, you know, it just didn't feel right. But at the same time, it is a word that is used. It comes from the Greek word episkopos, and it means, again, it means in this form, it means overseer. But it's used in 1 Timothy, the third chapter, in verse 2. To make reference to a distinct office, because then it follows, you know, with the qualifications of that bishop or elder. And it's used down in 1 Timothy 3, and I didn't put the verse up here. When it makes reference to the bishop or the elder, it's used in a different way. It's used with the word in 1 Timothy 4:14. It makes reference to this word presbyterian, or the presbytery. And a lot of people, when they look at this particular verse, they actually think that when Paul was writing to Timothy, that some people mistake this to mean that his hands were laid on by inspired men. When actually this word is reference to the word elder, so the elders are the ones who actually laid their hands on Timothy. However, Timothy was told not to neglect the gift that was given to him. That is the gift of to speak the word of God. But it's interesting, too, that when you look at that Timothy this letter was addressed to Timothy, and that he had to study it, that he had to read it. And so even though Timothy may have been endowed with spiritual gifts, he was still told, especially in 1 Timothy 2:15, to study, you know, to show himself approved. And so sometimes when we look at these particular words, we look at Timothy, we look at how these words are used, even with an apostle, sometimes we must understand that there was sometimes a limit to how the Holy Spirit interacted with these people. It's just like we know Acts, the 10th chapter. We know that Peter had a problem with eating with Gentiles. Acts, the 10th chapter, is dedicated to showing Peter that, you know, you need to preach the gospel and baptize this Gentile family. And we know that previously Peter had a problem with that. And then in Acts 10:34, he made a perception and perceived that God was no respecter of persons, and he went ahead and preached the gospel to that family. But the point is that sometimes the Holy Spirit, and the way that is used, like in 1 Timothy 4, we know that even Peter was limited by the Holy Spirit in how he received understanding. And so that's really what my point is. Sometimes when you read like this word, the presbytery, it always makes reference to the elders. And the elders didn't always have or were endowed with spiritual gifts. I just wanted to make a quick reference to that, because there's a lot of confusion on 1 Timothy 4 and if Timothy had spiritual gifts or not. But I'll leave that and go on, because I'm going off on a tangent. But study that for yourself. And then we go on to, the next. In Paul's first journey, we see that there were again, there were elders ordained in every church. And again, he goes back after the, you know, he made his first journey. He goes back and establishes elders in these churches that he had already helped establish. And also, when you look at Titus, the first chapter, verse 5, we go to Acts 14:23. Let's just go to Acts 14:23 real quick and just read that, and then we'll move on. Acts, the 14th chapter, and verse 23. It says, when he had ordained them elders in every church, he had prayed with fasting, and they commended them to the Lord of whom they believed. And so, again, that's what we just said. And then if you go to Titus, the first chapter, and take a look at what... Now, the Apostle Paul, even though the book is labeled Titus, we know that it is Paul who's actually writing to Titus. And Titus was a fellow soldier in the Lord. He was a minister. And Paul, and he frequently went on travels. But let's take a look at the first chapter, verse 5 there. And he says, for this cause I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are wanting. And he says, and ordain elders in every city as I have appointed you, if any be blameless. And he goes on to talk about the qualifications. So he shows in Titus, the first chapter and the first five, if you look there very closely and specifically at some of the words, especially he uses the word wanting. And so where there's not elders in a specific church, the Apostle Paul says that church is wanting. It's incomplete. If it's not, it indicates the incompleteness of God's divine plan for the church. You know, and so we'll go on and explain more what that means. So what is the work of a bishop or an elder? We've seen in the first part that the word, episcopal, or the other word, presbytery, are closely related. And we know that in the use of those words, they're practically synonymous. But the work of a bishop is to enforce the law of Christ. And of course, Christ is the only lawgiver. And in James, the fourth chapter, verse 12, if you just flip over to James, I'll just read that because that's a very important reading this morning. In James, the fourth chapter, verse 12, it says, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and destroy. Who are you who judges another? And we know that Jesus is the only lawgiver. And when we look at that, even from the point of an elder, we must understand that Jesus is the only great shepherd that's used in Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Paul refers to Jesus as being the great shepherd. There's no elder that I know that would elevate himself and say that he is the great shepherd. If he does, you know, he is exalting himself in the position of Christ. Paul recognized this, and he also recognized, if you look at the way it's used in Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 20, it actually makes reference to Christ, and that he is the one who died for us. He is the true shepherd. He is the one that without him, we would all be confused, and we would need to have need of learning and be wanting. Therefore, their authority, that is, the authority of an elder in enforcing the law of Christ, is executive rather than legislative. And we know that according to the government branches, we know that the executive branch carries out the law. The legislative branch makes law. And it makes law to help people so that, you know, to keep them from suffering. And that's one of the main reasons of the law, and also to help them and guide them so that their outcome will be good. So when we execute the law, the elders, we must keep this in mind, that we are not to create the law. They are to rule regardless of the majority or the minority. You know, we can't take a position just because, you know, the majority of the church says, well, I believe this. And then the minority says, well, I understand this. Well, some people believe, well, the minority must be right because there's just a few people that believe that. And, you know, let's take a closer look. But what we really need to do is to go back to the scriptures and look at what the scriptures have to teach. You know, look at Acts, the 20th chapter, real quickly. And then I'll move on to more specifics as to the work of what an elder does. And Acts, the 20th chapter, is a very interesting reading. If you look at verse 27, It says, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." And this is the Apostle Paul. It says, "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit has made you overseers." And there's that word overseer. It means bishop. It says, "To feed the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood." And again, there's an indication that Jesus is the one that has done the sacrificing as far as what is acceptable to God. "For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of yourselves men shall arise, speaking perverse things to draw disciples after them. Therefore watch, be vigilant, and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." And I'm going to go off on a tangent here. That's a very good verse. If someone ever brings up the once saved, always saved, you know, aspect, you know, you look at verse 31, one of the works of an elder is to keep watch, you know, because there will be grievous wolves that will enter into the flock and will not spare it. And again, this oversight must be willingly, according to 1 Peter 5, 2. The motive for the elder cannot be for filthy lucre or for money. We must lead by example, not lording themselves over God's heritage. And if you look at verse 3, actually 1 Peter 5 is supposed to be the Bible reading for this morning, because it is really an outstanding passage that teaches us a lot. Let's just go to 1 Peter, and we'll take a look at chapter 5. And let's just go on down and read through verse 5, and then that'll kind of give us a better understanding of the rest of what I'm going to say. He says, "The elders which are among you," in 1 Peter 5, verse 1, he says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ." So Peter obviously was an elder. Sometimes the word elder, too, can make reference to the elders that held positions in the Jewish, you know, under Jewish law. That's used also in Presbyterian, and also can mean an older or mature person. But here I believe it actually means he also was a bishop, and witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. "Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint but willingly, not for filthy lucre," there's the money thing, "but of a ready mind, neither being lord over God's heritage." Again, and I mentioned right here, we cannot be a lord. I made a funny comment down here. If you look at the bottom there, one of the interesting things about elders is that, you know, elders have to submit to elders. You know, one of the interesting things is that when I started as an elder, I seen Brother Mike come up and other people come up and say, "Hey, you know, what can we do this?" And there is an air of humility in this congregation that you don't see in many congregations, you know. But the point is that our elders are right on track, and I have seen that. And again, the members are to submit to the elder. And if you look at the verses 5 and 6, and let me read on down. "And when the chief shepherd shall appear," verse 4, "you shall receive a crown of glory that fades not away. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yes, all of you be subject to one another, and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him." And really, you know, when you look at this position, this office, he says to submit, to not submit and to rebel against God's plan. And again, the church will be found wanting if this submission does not take place. It's God's plan for the members to look at the spiritual leaders and to submit to them. Failure to do so, according to verse 5 and 6, is obviously rebellion against God. Again, let me go to the next one here. Let's look at some specifics. Feed the flock. Again, one of the things in 1 Peter 5 that is covered is that the elder is to feed, you know, to preach the Word of God, to make sure that the Word of God is unadulterated, to make sure that the truth is preached, that people can grow. You know, one of the interesting things that it says in James, the second chapter, in verse 16, that, you know, it's not enough when you're trying to feed a flock to just say, hey, you know, be ye warmed and filled. You know, I'm going to preach to you, and here's what you need. Just go away. But the reality is the elder has to go even further. The elder has to get to know people. You know, Brother Boyd, you know, he told me one time, you know, I wish that all the elders could be a shepherd. he has a farm. He knows how to raise sheep. And I'm going to get more into the specifics of the job of an elder, but I'm going to use an example. Because he's right. You know, he probably didn't know it, but I was raised on a farm too. And most of you know that. And when I was a boy, you know, we had sheep. And one of the things that we had to do was to feed them, and that obviously so they wouldn't die. But the other thing is that what we had to do constantly is to watch the fence line. And it would seem like there would always be a stray German Shepherd, and I remember one of the names that we named this dog, and there would even be coyotes that would come up, and you know, you'd go and you'd look at this fence line, and you would go out every day and you could see holes where they tried to go underneath the fence, or they would literally try to bite through the fence and get through the fence. And then, of course, what's interesting about sheep is that they have wool. And one of the main things, the reasons that you have sheep is you watch them grow, and what grows on the sheep is the wool. And so my uncle had some shears, and that when the wool would get, you know, really thick, you'd have to shear that wool off, and then you'd sell it. But the point is that wool could get really thick, and so if a dog or another animal would come in and chase the sheep, even not even bite them or kill them, the sheep could overheat very easily, and internally they would, heat up and get hyperthermia, just like a human. You know, if a human gets over, 105 degrees internally in his core temperature, he can die. And it's the same way with an animal. He can get brain damage if his internal body temperature gets too high. And so we knew that as a farmer, and that you had to watch very closely for the welfare and the well-being of that sheep. And also, too, you know, we had to chase off those dogs sometimes. And it was a lot easier than what it was in David's day. You know, David had a slingshot and a club. We had a shotgun. And so, but sometimes, you know, in the church, you know, if you make the parallel, sometimes it can be difficult. But one of the interesting things about false teachers that creep in unaware, as 2 Peter, the second chapter, warns in verses 1 through 3, it says these there are certain individuals that will creep into the church, and that they will try to make merchandise of you. And that's what Peter said. And the elder has to see that. And he has to know the Bible well enough to see false teaching immediately. Just like when, you know, you're out on that fence line looking at those sheep, you know, you got to find the holes in that fence immediately. And if you don't have the knowledge to do that, then you shouldn't be an elder. And if you don't have the love for the flock, a true shepherd will love his sheep. You know, he'll leave the 99 and go find the one that's astray, right? That's what Jesus said. And then he'll bring him back to the fold. And that takes time, and it takes knowledge of the person. Again, in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, verse 10, if you flip over there to the 5th chapter, verse 10, it says, "But the God of all grace, who has called us his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, settle you. To him to be the glory and dominion forever." But you know, it's interesting here that when he mentions this, that it's God's desire that you be established and strengthened in the church. If you're not being established, if you're not being strengthened in this church, you need to bring it to the elder's attention. If there's something that's being taught that you disagree with, you need to bring it to the elder's attention. You know, one of the interesting things about sheep is that, you know, you had to trim those sheep, and I mentioned that before. Because sometimes one of the things I noticed was that their covering or their wool can get out of hand. It can get dirty and it can get disgusting. And if you let it go, it becomes useless. Because the main purpose for having sheep on a farm is to have, is to sell its wool. A sheep can be slaughtered for its meat, but most of the time, most farmers don't engage in that today. They did in David's day. There were a couple of different reasons why, but that's not the point here. The point here is that, you know, it's even elders, you know, like I think Brother Moody mentioned this in the sermon, is that, you know, we don't come together to just passively let things go by. You know, when we see, you know, an elder needs to step up, or we see a member that needs help, you know, someone may come up to you and they may say something to you in private. You know, Brother Moody said that in the Proverbs, you know, iron sharpens iron. And sometimes, you know, don't be afraid when, you know, even if you're chastised, or if an elder or someone says something to you, it's only out of love. It's only because we love you. And your sword cannot stay sharp unless you're sharpened by iron. You know, I imagine the other night when I was thinking about this, you know, it'd be very difficult to sharpen a blade to keep a person sharp with a stick of butter. You know, we just can't do that. And so that's not what it's about. We really have to stay on guard, and we have to give an account to God. So the shepherd must spot problems quickly. Otherwise, the sheep may be harmed. We must always do so, because the elder, according to Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 17, he has to give an account to God. So for you, that's one of the reasons why you should help in your endeavors in your spiritual walk. Number one, because the elder has to give an account for your soul. Number two, you're commanded to submit to that point in all humility. And then it talks about one of the things that can occur that God isn't pleased with, and that's the fact that an elder, when he rules, if he does it in a grievous way, like there's always problems with certain individuals, and he's grieved in that, God notices that. And so we, as members, you know, we have to understand that we need to make our walk and do it to the best of our ability and by faith. I'm not going to go on to this next point. This is my last slide, and I'll stop right here. And I made a comment that, you know, Brother Boyd said that, you know, every elder should probably learn how to have real sheep and be a shepherd. I think a person should engage in gardening. You know, gardening has a lot to do from a physical point of view with. You know, what an elder's work is in the church. But I'm not going to go into that right now. At this time, you know, we're going to stop and we're going to have a prayer, and we'll be dismissed to our class.